You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 29. And in our study of Jeremiah chapter 29, we are reminded that Israel is the vehicle that God is going to use in all of history to bring about and to honor his wonderful person. And in the process, so Israel is the center, not the church. And therefore, keep that in mind. So Israel, God deals with Israel in a very special way. And as they are to be wonderfully successful, they are a dismal failure. So that hasn't gone very far. But God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his plan doesn't change. His choice of Israel doesn't change. Choice of Jerusalem doesn't change. All of it, as we shared in chapter 29, the end of verse 10, etc., in this place. So God is going to do all of these things. In the process, Israel is encouraged repeatedly to seek God and look to God. Even though they're way out, way off, God is always there in his mercy and grace to help them if they would but turn. But when their heart is set on where it's going, then God doesn't do that anymore, as it were. He lets the heart get hardened, and he doesn't bother, as it were. Now, so, as we were in verse chapter 29, verse 12, that God has a wonderful plan. I'll have to read verse 11, I guess. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a wonderful, wonderful future. Then shall you call upon me when you get back into the land. Then shall you call upon me in the back where you should be. As you're going back, you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and I'll hear you when you pray. And that is governed by verse 13. And you shall seek me when you pray. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And the word we shared, the word seek, has to do with dividing the mind, dividing up everything, to divide it all up in order to examine something, to find something, to understand something. And in the verb in verse 13, and you'll find me, to bring that, to make something visible, to make it appear, to make it so you can see, to see something, to understand something. So you seek me and you'll find me, verse 13. And when you search for me, the word search there has to do with pulverizing something, pulverizing it, to so looking, so searching for that minuscule. If you have faith, think of faith. Faith is the grain of a mustard seed. I'm looking just for anything when you search for me. So I'm looking for God, but I don't know a lot about looking for God. But down deep, there is that little bit in me that really wants God. So when I seek God, and I'm going to find him, and when I search for him, I'm trying to get rid of all the garbage and all the stuff around me that isn't interested, and to find the little part of me that wants God, and to bring that forward. Now, having said that, with all your heart, with all your heart. Now, and verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, same as in verse 14, 13, find. I will be found, I'll make an appearance, I'll become existent for you. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And that's going to be not just a little bit in it with Ezra and Nehemiah during that day, but coming up at the end of the tribulation, I'm going to bring them all together. God's going to do that. Now, that's his promise, wonderful promise to them. Now, that's what they're to be encouraged with. Over, if you would please, to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews 11, picking up in thought, if I can, chapter 11, looking at Moses, verse 25. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, because remember, he's going to be after him now. He had a wonderful position, but he forfeited it. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How did he proceed? He's all alone. No one's with him. He's all by his lonesome. He has to find his way in the wilderness all by himself. How's he going to do it? By seeing him who is invisible. When you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. I'll make an appearance. I'll become visible. I'll become existent. God, we can't see you, touch, see, smell, nothing. God said, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll know I'm right here. You'll know that. Now, and keep in mind, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk, not by sight. Moses didn't walk by sight, because he wasn't sure where he was going and even how to get there, like Abraham of old. So he's going to go. He's just running, not to get caught. They can't find him out into the wilderness. So 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and what? Not by sight. So we can't go by sight. No, that isn't how it's working. How is Israel supposed to do it? They're to seek God with all their heart. God said they'll find him, and when they search for him, find that little bit of them inside that wants God and brings that to the front, they'll find God. He'll find God. And Moses, that's what Moses did. He saw him who was invisible. So therefore, you understand the age-old principle in the light of the sin nature that we have, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible. Impossible means impossible. That means it isn't possible. It's impossible. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart. Verse 6 again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is, in the beginning God, and that he is a rewarder, a payer in full, as it were, of them that diligently search, seriously search for him, diligently search for him, seek him, they that diligently seek him. God is a payer in full. If you seek me, you'll find me. You won't be disappointed. If you seek me, you will find me. I'm not going to disappoint you. I'll never disappoint you. Hang on. I'll never do that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so Israel is to be going down the corridor of time. And God is a wonderful God, and they need to honor him, but they are not. They are not seeking him. They're not finding him. They're all by their lonesome without God. in the middle of the night, in the coming storm. And we shared together in Acts 17, you have to turn there, 27, to the men of Athens, to all the people in that great Grecian city, men of Athens, that if you seek me, verse 27, even if you grope like a blind man trying to feel your way along, if you grope after me, just like that, if you do that, remember the search down in here, just a little, find something in here that really wants to do it right. Not all the stuff that doesn't want to, the stuff that wants to get there. And if you seek me, grope after me, you'll find me for, and then you'll remember it says, though he be not far from every one of us. How far away is God? Right here. In the middle of the night, how far away is God? Right there. While you're driving your car to work or school, he's right there. He's right there. How far away is God? He isn't. God is wonderfully, wonderfully, we've shared all these things. He's holy. When you think of the word holy, H-O-L-Y, think of the word being different. God isn't distant. Distant. He isn't distant. He's different. He's different. We're going to be, when God takes us, we're going to be different. We're going to be different. We're spiritually alive if you're saved, but you're still physically here, so you can't enjoy being spiritually alive like you're going to. So therefore, seek God, and God's going to find him. So, and we share together, if you just seek me, you'll find me. I'm not very far from anyone. And we shared together in Psalm 139 and all of that, like David, a wonderful, wonderful exercise, that there's nowhere to go, up or down, back, forward, and there's nowhere to hide, nowhere in all of forever. You can go out to the heights of the sky, and you couldn't get away from God. And if you go 7 miles down deep in the ocean off of Asia, South America and Malaysia and all that, I think it's 7 miles down. That's pretty far if you ask me. Deep. If you go down, God's there. We can't get away from God. Wow. So therefore, you can't get away. God's ever present, wonderfully present. And you need to seek him. But you don't have to seek him. You don't even have to exercise it by faith. You have to do it by faith, because you can't do it by your senses. You have to give credit that God is who he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to start with that. You don't start with figuring it out. No, he is. In the beginning, God. So you don't go anywhere. That's it. That's the trouble. We want to fool with it instead of just doing it now. So therefore, Amos, if you would, Amos in chapter 8. And remember, Amos is there 140 years before Jeremiah, etc. And he's dealing with the 10 tribes in the north. The 10 tribes going to be taken captive by the Assyrians. And you'll remember now in that wonderful little exercise in the book of Amos. And in the process, they didn't want to hear anymore. They didn't want to hear anymore from the prophets. So I'll just pick that part of it up. Amos chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, teacher, reporter, announcer, prophet, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Get down south. Don't come up here to us, 10 tribes in the north. Get down there and bother them. Go get them. Verse 13, but prophesy not again anymore in Bethel, that's in the north, Forward is the King's Chapel. It's the center, a centerpiece for the 10 tribes in the north. It is the king's court. So, and having said that, so you're telling Amos to go away. And Amos says, listen, I'm going to go away, but I want you to know what's going to happen. So you slide over to chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 9. And it came to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth, mourning, repentance, sadness, bitterness. I will bring up sackcloth upon all thy loins, and baldness upon thy head. And I will make it as the mourning, as of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. Now, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You won't hear anymore. The Bible's closed. Radio, television, never hear. I'm not going to say any more to you. Now, and verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to east, and they shall run to and fro. There's your little verb to seek. They aren't going to seek. They're going to seek God, but it's after the fact, verse 12, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. They had their opportunity, and they said, no, no, no. And when it got terribly, terribly bad, it was too late to say yes. Too late to say yes. Their heart was set. So therefore, having said that little bit, over to Psalm 46:10. So we got a sense of Israel. Psalm 46. And you will note, please, in Psalm 46. Now remember we said, seek the Lord with all your heart. And you find him. Seek and find and search for him with all your heart. Okay, we got that. And you'll find him. That verb, you'll find him. He's a rewarder. For Psalm 46, verse 1. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you see the word very present, present help, the present help? He's a very present help. It literally means, it's the verb find. And much found help, very present, a much found help. God's going to be a wonderful, wonderful find. So therefore, I'll read it that way, just so you see it a little different. God is a refuge and strength, a much found help in trouble. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And that's what is translated present, understandably. Present help, a much found help. Now, having said that, and you read down through the wonderful, wonderful psalm that it is, and much found. So, picking up, if I can, sliding over to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. So, God, you're going to go, and you're going to go and be exalted. So it says, be still, causative. You cause yourself to be still, whatever the word still is. So you cause yourself to be still. And the word still means to slacken, let up, let off, let it alone, back down, don't touch it, etc. Don't acknowledge it. Don't touch, back down, back off, back away, leave it alone, don't touch. Be still and know. What am I supposed to be knowing? That I am God. M is in italics. And so in the Hebrew, it would just say, I, Elohim. I am God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I am God. Be still and know that I, God, am God. What do you mean? Why say it that way? Because, remember, we did all these things. God, do we need to help you? No. God said, back off. You got a problem, you're in the problem, right? You're in the experience, you're in the thing you're thinking about, it's in your mind and heart and your experience, and you're working through it. You're in it. Back off. Back off. Back down. Leave it alone. Cease. C-E-A-S-E. Cease. Okay. And you don't need to help God. The trouble is we have problems and things in our head and heart that we face on a daily basis in one way or another. Don't try to help God. Be God. We do that more than we know. We're going to help you be God. Don't, please don't set God. Be still. Back off. Hang on. Back off. Don't do it. And what do you know? What all the other places? No, just sitting there. 1 Corinthians 1:29, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What? No flesh shall glory in what? In his presence. I don't need your help. I don't want you doing what I do. Don't play God. Don't try to be God. Don't do that. Back down. And therefore, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't have a fear of God. God's wonderful will, who knows what awful thing he may have me do? Who knows what God might have me go through? If God picks it, it's the best thing in the world. You can't go wrong. That's why David left the choice in his punishments to God. God, I deserve to get. And David said, God, you pick it. Because God will be merciful, and he knows just the right thing that fits you and me. So therefore, don't help God, be God, and don't fear God's will. If you're going to trust him, don't fear it. Don't fear it. And don't count on God. Don't think that God may be a failure. He won't come to your aid. 46 verse 1, God is a refuge and strength, a well-found help in trouble. If you seek me, you'll find me. So you don't have to go and do that. Don't do that. Is God won't do it. No, God said, I will do it. I told you. I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. I told you that. So God, you'll disappoint me. I'll miss everything. Who knows what it is? Work, home, school, sickness, health, 1,000,000,000 things in our world we live in. Wow. So be still and know that I'm God. Don't fear God. God will not be disappointing. He is his failure to help. You'll never find his failure. God is always there. Be still. Be still. Yield. Submit. Another way to say the little word still, verb. Still, cause yourself to reverence. Cause yourself to yield to God's awe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. So I have to think, is God like what? God is like God. Is God awesome? I look at the flowers, I look at the bugs, look at the heavens, look at our own body. Awesome. Have an awe of God. Submit and be quiet before God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to verse 7. And you'll notice it, if I can. We read in verse 1, but I'm going down to verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, is with us. He's with us. So therefore, what is the encouragement? To be still and trust God. Okay, God, verse 7, God is a refuge for us. Well, the word refuge, some words, refuge, have a tower or something. But this word you're looking at, this refuge, has to do with a setup, a situation, a fortress, a tower that is inaccessible, impregnable. You can't get to it. You can't get to it. You can't do anything against it. The refuge, God says, I, verse 7, I'll read it that way. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our impregnable fortress. You can't get through to God. I want to get through against God. You can't. You can't do it. Hang on. Verse 11, we close. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There it is again. God is an impregnable fortress. If where God is, you can't. How do you get God? You can't. You can't get God. There's no way to get him. Or if you would, to Psalm 9. All kinds of ways. Here's one of them. Psalm 9. A little word, refuge, we're looking at. So God, I want to know. So I keep reading your word. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a, what, dear friends? Refuge. There's your word. The Lord will be a fortress. Who's a fortress? What is the fortress made out of? Steel? Big blocks of cement? No, it's God. God is the fortress. God is. How are you going to get through to God? How are you going to get through to God? We can't see him. We can't touch him. And we aren't going to come by faith. Think of Armageddon, the battle, Revelation, all that. They're going to have to come this way. That's all they can do. They can come with their guns and tanks and whatever they want to do. How are we going to do? And that's why you know the wonderful stuff in Psalm 2 when they do that in Armageddon. And that's one of those places that just says God helps us and God laughs. We never hear about him laughing too much. But God laughs. He looks and sees them all there with all their stuff. And God said, what a funny thing that is. What a funny thing. All gathered from all over the world. What a funny thing. Hang on. Now, so therefore, verse 9, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge, it says it twice, in times of trouble. Verse 10, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. That's seeking thee. You don't. If you seek him, you have to find him. If you want God, you got him. How far away is he? He isn't. So therefore, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and understanding that in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Over to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 26. And what we said, he's a wonderful fortress. The Lord is our fortress. He's our hiding in the presence of God. Psalm Isaiah 26, looking at the kingdom, what makes it so wonderfully safe? In that day, 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. What are they going to sing? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So God, how do you protect people? in the millennium, the, you know, the rod of iron and all of that. God, how do you do it? Salvation. God saves us. How good is your salvation? How good is your salvation against the flu? How good is your salvation against the virus A, B, C, D, E, F? How good is your salvation against anything? Anyone? Anywhere? What can get through it? What can change it? Nothing can change it. Nothing at all. So, what's the kingdom? God is saving. It's his king. He rules with a rod of iron. So, therefore, walls and bulwarks. Verse 2, open the gates. Ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou, verse 3, will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, 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 peace, peace, peace. Whose mind, thought process is stayed, resting down on thee. Because, why? You can't rest on the foundation without being safe. You're safe. Those great big storms, and there's the Rock of Gibraltar over there near the Mediterranean. If you sit in the Rock of Gibraltar, it's been there a long time. And there it is. The storms come, storms go. The rock's still there. So you're resting. God said, listen, I want you to know, if you rest down on God, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Resting, he's a refuge. And remember now, you're resting down. You don't want to, don't. People do this. I know you guys don't, but people do. But you want to, here's the rock, like here, from here to here. And you want to rest here. So you can fall down. When you fall down, you land where? When you fall down, you land here, right? When I fall down, how far can I get to the edge and still be in? Fall down. Fall down. Whoops. Too close. Don't try to get too close to the edge. Don't push it. How much can I get away with and not really be what I'm supposed to be? How much can I get away with? That's too close to the edge. Too close to the edge. Stay in here. Stay clear. So there's no question. I got it. God, I'm going to be safe. That's what I'm going to do. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, over, if you would, over in your Bible, over to Romans. And in Romans chapter 11, picking up if I can. Now, here's Israel, and Israel was to have a wonderful refuge to find God and all of that, and all of those wonderful promises, all of the wonderful future for Israel is not to be found. You can go all over Israel and all over the world, but it isn't going to be found. Nope. Can't find it. Can't find it, not now. Nope. So Israel, God, what are you doing? Now we come in, Israel is the centerpiece, not the church. So Israel is. Now God, how are you going to reach the nations? By the nation of Israel. That's how I'm going to do it. Now where do we fit in, God? What's the whole point? Now, Romans chapter 11. Remember now, Israel, picking up if I can, I don't have time. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, this is Israel now, verses 11, 9, 10, 11, Romans. What about Israel? Israel's put on the shelf, the church is there. So therefore, we don't have to get, we're sitting here, wonderfully able to sit here. And we don't have to find God. We don't have to hunt for God. And God isn't left us in the lurch. Here we are, right here, in the presence of God. Israel didn't have that. they didn't enjoy the presence of God. Now, so what's different about us guys? We're just nobodies. What's different about us? Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, Israel, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, they did fall, their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That's us. Now, God, why did you do that? I thought Israel's the centerpiece. Jerusalem's the center city. It is. But I want you to know they rejected. And so they rejected on Calvary's cross. They rejected me and crucified me. I'm going to show them grace. They don't know what it is. I'm going to show it to them. And that's us whosoever's. Now, God, how are you going to help us? Well, Israel's down. God said, I'm going to show them, the world, my grace. Israel plus the Gentiles. I'm going to go and save whosoever's, whosoever will that will. And what am I going to do? The end of verse 11. To provoke them, to stir them, to excite them, to energize them in jealousy. I want them to get all upset that we nobodies have more than they do. They don't understand that. We have what they don't have. And that's why we have it, to provoke Israel. We have a wonderful, we don't have to seek God, we've found him. He's found us if we're saved. Now, having said that, and sliding on verse 14, Paul adds to it, if by any means I may provoke to emulation, jealousy, them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. I hope, as I'm a Jew, Paul said, a Pharisee, the saved Pharisee, saved Jew, I hope my life will provoke some Jews to get saved. The Jews don't want to be saved. Not all of them. Some do. Some do. They don't want to be saved, the nation. Not now. I hope I can provoke them. Provoke them. Wow. I want to go and provoke them. So now, having said that, now God, that's what you want to do. I want to provoke them. Now, do it. We don't even have, well, we don't have time to do that. Wow. Okay. In the process, God, here we are going, and go over if I can to provoke. And remember now, God's going to be a refuge for us. We read in Isaiah 26, etc., that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God's going to do. Over to Philippians. And in Philippians, keep it in mind, chapter 4, what do we have? A wonderful, wonderful what? So that we don't worry, lighter context, chapter 4, verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be careful, don't be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be carefree. Carefully, carefully, carefree. Not loosely. Carefully, be carefree. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So God, we aren't supposed to worry. No, it's a sin to worry. Ends up sin. We get anxious. No, can't do that. No, God, you have to take care of that. Now, God, what are you going to do to help us so that we don't worry? Because there's so many things to worry about. And here's Israel. Thou will keep them in perfect peace in the millennium. But right back then, in Jeremiah's day, they didn't have any of that peace. So we're an example to them right now, to Israel as a nation, to the Jewish people, and to all people. Verse 7, and the peace of God, think of Isaiah 26, 4, 3, and the peace of God, which passes, present tense, it goes right past and keeps going right past, passes all understanding. So, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Now, God, you're going to keep us like that. I am. Now, God, how are you going to keep me? Well, if my mind stayed in thee, I'm looking to you, trusting you, and told me not to worry, to everything with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, God. We're going to look to you to get through each thing. So I want to stay in center, move down the corridor in a proper way. And in doing so, I'm going to go in the peace. God, you're going to guard me with your peace. Now, here comes trouble marching along. Here comes trouble, 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 trouble. But how's it going to get through peace? How does trouble get through God's peace? Say it another way if you didn't get that. Would you please tell me what on earth is happening now when the whole lot's happening and horrible things, more horrible than you and I could even imagine, probably, I'm sure. I couldn't understand them. Wow. All of that's happening. Now God is all upset and he doesn't know what to do. What troubles God? What can ever trouble God? Zero. Thou with peace, what's going to guard you? God's untroubled person. God's untroubled person is going to be your God. Be your guard. Your impregnable fortress. Inaccessible. No one can get to it. They can't get through that. No matter, as long as you're trusting him, they can't get through. Now you can worry about a lot of things, but you don't let it have to let it get, don't let the worry get you. Don't do it. Nope. God, you're able to go and keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Wow. So God, here we are looking. And you're going to do that. Yep. That's all I'm going to do. And in the process, God, Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Israel, remember, was told, Jeremiah chapter 6, that they were to get the old paths back and find God's wonderful rest. They didn't know what rest was, peace was. They didn't know what it was. So, when you come to us, here we are, and chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us, of entering in to his rest. And remember, I'll read the end of verse chapter 3, verse 19, little context. So we see that they could not enter in. Why couldn't they get anything? Why couldn't they have the benefits? Because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore, in the light of their unbelief, fear lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short and miss it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them. They didn't pay attention. Them. But being mixed with faith, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the standard for all humans. In the light of being sinners, we got to believe God is. And they didn't mix it. They didn't put God into the equation. That's why Jeremiah 29, they aren't finding God. God told them to seek, but they didn't. They didn't do it. So therefore, sliding down to verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And God said, what's the church going to do? Well, the Israel didn't find it, doesn't have it. We're supposed to have it. That's the verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, God's, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. On the seventh day, God rested. He was all done, all finished. And then he said, now I want you to enjoy that. I want you to enjoy what I have finished. I have made everything possible that you'll ever need to succeed, to survive. I've done that. So I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. I want you to know. I want you to enjoy the peace. I want you to enjoy the rest. Well, God, I haven't finished. No, God said, I've finished. So God, we shared it on Sunday. God, I want your wonderful will and your plan for my life. God said, fine. You already have it. I already have it. God, what do I need to do to get it? You already have it. You already have it. You just have to work it out. I'm right there, said God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. You got to walk by faith, not by sight. And you're going to what? I want you to enter into my rest. I have finished it. You need to experience what I have finished. You need to work it out. That's what you need to do. So don't help me. Back to Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Back off. We got to help you, God. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's getting involved. You're going to lose it. You don't want to lose it. Nope. You're going to go and God help us. And God help us. So his rest. So it's God's rest, not your rest and not my rest. It's not my anything, God said. No flesh shall glory in my presence. I want you to enjoy a relationship. And therefore, we're stimulating. We're to be stimulated, verse 4:11. Let us labor most diligently, most eagerly, with zeal. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Why do you have to keep disbelieving? Because they did, and you are to provoke them. You're to have such a relationship to God on a 24-hour-a-day basis that you can't lose. You can grieve God and quench the Spirit of God and resist the Spirit of God, but you can't make it go away. It's there, and you either enjoy it or you don't. Israel can't do that. We're supposed to be an example to provoke them. What are we provoking them with? Grace. What's grace? It's all of God and not of us. That's what grace is. So God, we're looking for to exhibit grace. So we aren't telling the world, oh, I'm able to do this, ha ha, you can't. I don't do that. You don't do that. No, what we have is grace. That's nothing about us. It's about God. And that's what Israel, Mr. Jew, Mr. Synagogue, anyone, you got to look to God. You got to look to God. Don't look to God, it won't work. That's all. It just won't work. So now, God, having said that, over if I can, John. John 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, picking up. And you will notice, I want to give you the little phrase that we have used over the years for a long time. Haven't used it for a little bit, at least in public. Remember, you remember it, some of you. For this I have Jesus. For this, whatever it is, I have Jesus. And for this, he has me. Whatever I'm facing, that's why I have Jesus. And that's whatever I'm facing, that's why he has me. He has me for this. I have him for this. God in Christ in the heart. In the heart in Christ is God. Easy, John 14, verse 20. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Pretty simple. Not hard. For this I have Jesus. For this he has me. So as you stay down the corridor, God, we're to provoke Israel because we don't deserve one drop as whosoever's. But we have it all. We have it all. We're children of the King. We have it all. When do we get it? We've done have it. We've done got it. How's that? We got the whole works.